But the thoughts that are upon our heart this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and give you our sermon title first, is maybe we're all a little bit crazy. Maybe we're all a little bit crazy. And I know that seems like a crazy sermon title, but that's what the Lord laid upon our heart. And if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us to a portion of a reading lesson, we'll be reading out of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we'll be starting our reading with the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, the 18th verse. I want to kind of give you a little bit of a background on where this thought originated from. Everybody here knows that we left out last Friday to fly to Seattle. Most of you all know that I've never flown on an airplane before. Somehow my family decided to play the practical joke on me and put me beside the window for my first flight. So that was very interesting for me. As the plane pulled back and as it started down to taxi toward the runway, I thought, oh goodness, this ain't going to be good. And I usually don't use the word ain't, but I thought to myself, this ain't going to be good. And as the plane kind of started to move, I thought, well, it's all or nothing, baby. This is how it's going to be. I guess I'm fixing to fly my first airplane. And so that thing rears back, and here it goes. And it shoots out into the sky, and I'm thinking, oh, goodness, I'm riding on a bullet, and I'm shooting through the sky. And I looked at one point, and I guess we were going about 800 miles an hour. You all know I drive fast. I don't drive that fast. But as we got up and as we started to take out over Nashville, and we flew over Clarksville and kind of rounded about Evansville, Indiana, got up through Missouri, went over into Nebraska, Iowa, North Dakota, then we flew over into Montana, Idaho, into Seattle. A lot of beautiful things that I looked at and I saw. I'll be honest with you, the first few minutes I didn't want to look out because I thought, oh goodness, I'm actually in this thing, and there's nothing between me and the ground except about a piece of metal about that big. And so if I fall out of this thing, it's going to hurt. But you know, I'm here today, so obviously the thing didn't fall out of the sky. But as I began to look out of that airplane, I thought, this just is crazy to me that they can torpedo something into the sky and it fly thousands of miles and then we land again. I thought, that is just absolutely crazy. I thought the first person that thought it would be a fun thing to shoot something into the sky with him on it must have been a brick short of a load. I don't understand who thought that was a good idea, but they came up with that. Most of us have heard about the Wright brothers and the first airplane that they took off and flew a little bit of distance. I wouldn't have wanted to be on that one. But I thought, how absolutely crazy is it that here I am flying through the sky at 800 miles an hour? Well, it didn't stop there. The craziness just seemed to get a little bit more there. I get off an airplane into an airport. We leave, we get in a van, we drive through Seattle. We spend the night there. We get up the next morning and we go to this big boat. This thing that is huge and we're supposed to get on it and sail around for a while. And I get on these boats every time and I think, how in the world is something that heavy going to get me on it and make sure that I get to my destination? Again, these things seem absolutely crazy to me. Somebody has put a lot of time and effort into making sure that airplanes fly and ships, they don't sink. Somebody has spent a lot of time mathematically and scientifically to make sure that your cars and your houses, that they stand in a way or that they drive in a way that they're supposed to. You know, we think things are crazy sometimes that some people think are absolutely normal. But then there are some things that we find absolutely normal that the world thinks is absolutely crazy. And I want you to read the scripture lesson with us, and I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. The 18th verse of this first chapter of 1 Corinthians. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, who is the us? The saved people, which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews, they require a sign, and the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, which is a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger or stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brethren, and I believe Paul was talking to some saved men that had been called to the gospel ministry at this point. He says, for you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I want to take for our lesson text that 27th verse. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things. Again, I told you there's somebody out there this morning that thinks that airplane flying is absolutely normal. I know. I think it's crazy. But on the flip side, read in the first chapter of the book of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are people out there today that will say we are crazy for believing that. There are people today that have tried in their way to come up with some other way that creation had to be made. They come up with Big Bang theories. They come up with molecular different things. They come up with all of these ideas. And they say, in the beginning, God created. God goes on in the first book, it says, God saw the light. Or God created light. Now you think about that. I think flying an airplane is crazy. But there are people today that would dispute the fact that there was a God that He says He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you believe this today, you've been saved. That God was, that He is, and He will be. But there are people today that say God's not real. They'll say it's foolish to believe that there's a deity that sits in the sky and He controls everything, that He makes everything. They'll say that's crazy. Yet in black and white, I have words that are written that says, in the beginning, God created. Now, in my little bitty mind, I can't fathom where God came from. The Bible says that He has always been. And I don't understand that. I know that everything that I see has a starting point. Everything that you see, this pulpit today, it didn't grow on a tree like this, whether you believe that or not. One point in its life, it started out as some wood. Somebody, I thought, well, we need to make a pulpit. So they went and they got some wood together and they began to make this thing. You see, it had a starting point. You and I, we all have a starting point. Now, some believe in evolution. They'll say, well, we have evolved over time. I want to say today that I do believe that people themselves, they do get more intelligent. I believe that. But you cannot prove that mankind came from some other species. If it were so, we would still be coming from that today. There's no way to prove that. There's no way to decide that that's right. Yet today there are people that will call us crazy for believing that a God is real. Now again, there are things that I think are absolutely insane. I don't like the thought of parachuting. I think to strap on a big wind thing and jump out of an airplane and just do that willingly, I think that's crazy. I think there are things that I wouldn't do that you might do. You all probably wouldn't drive 90 going down the interstate. I might. I don't know. We'll see. But as I was thinking about this lesson, and there was one point I got up really early last week. Again, I'm really off on my times today. I'm still not where I need to be with my body clock, I guess. But one morning, we got up really early. I messed up my clock on my phone, and it was actually 4 o'clock where we were, and I needed to be up by 6 o'clock, so I was up about 2 hours earlier than when I needed to be. So I went up on top of the deck of the ship, and we were pulling into this beautiful cove. And I got up there and I began to look out. And there are people today, you know this and I know this, that do not believe that God created anything. And I looked out and I saw these beautiful mountains. And I saw the birds as they were flying, the clouds as they were there, as we were sailing through that water. And I thought, oh goodness, how could someone not believe that something greater than you and I created all of this and put it in its perfect place? As we fly across a land and you look out and you see the landscape, there's nothing that could create that but an almighty God. There's nothing that could do that but an almighty God. It's His hand. It's His works. It's not my own. Mankind has the ability to create things. I believe God has given mankind the rationale, the mind, the intellectual abilities to do things. But our God was the one who started it all. He's the beginning, brothers and sisters. And the world thinks that's crazy. Paul, as he was writing to the Corinthian church, he says the preaching of the cross, well, that's foolish. You may think, preacher, you stand up there every Sunday and you tell us to believe in this man named Jesus who died on a cross. Well, do you know there are people that don't believe that today? There are. There are people that honestly and truly believe that Jesus still has not come, that the Messiah is still yet to be reigning King. They still believe that He's still to come. You know who those people are? They're the Jews. They're still looking for one to come and to take away their sins, but He's already been here. That's why Paul said, the Jews, they require a sign, and He was preaching to them. He was a stumbling block as Paul began to preach and teach to the Jews. But he said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I have thought many times as I got up to preach a message about how foolish what I'm fixing to preach sounds. You think about it. Go back to the very beginning. And I'm not talking about the first part of Genesis. I'm talking about when you get over there to Moses, Exodus, I guess, where Moses was called upon by God to lead the children of Israel out. And Moses is given this commission, and he says, take them out, Moses, you and Aaron. Get over to the Red Sea. And they're up against the wall. They've got the army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And they have no idea what to do. So what does God do? He parts the Red Sea. Now, I want to ask you something. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a sea parted in dry land either. Good, I didn't think I'd have any takers. I have never seen that. So to get up and try to preach that a God in heaven could take water and split it so that they could go over on dry land, that seems a little foolish. We talked in Sunday school this morning about Elisha and how that the Lord spoke to him and he went to this widow woman. They were in a very serious drought of famine in the land there. And she didn't have any oil or meal. She had one little bit to last. And the Lord told him, he said, "You tell her to make you a cake and I'll provide for her." Have you ever seen anything like that happen? A little bit of meal and a little bit of oil replenished day after day after day. Sure we haven't. We've never seen some of the miracles of the Bible. Well, you get into the New Testament. A virgin birth. You start telling people that there's someone that was born of a virgin. And we all know that that's not how it works. Every one of us understands the circle of life, how that works. That seems like foolishness. But yet it's so. Go on a little farther. This little boy grows up and his name is Jesus. He begins to perform miracle after miracle after miracle. There are people that are blind, they see. People that are lame, they walk. People that are horrible people, they turn their lives around. Demons being cast out of girls. And you remember Legion as he was there. And the Lord, Jesus spoke to him and he told those devils to come out. And they went into some swine and the swine were off the cliff. Well, that sounds foolish, doesn't it? I can understand why the world would say, "I have no idea how you believe any of that. I've never seen these things take place." I can understand how that when they were talking there in Rome as Jesus was going to the cross and he told them, he said, "I will raise the temple up in 3 days." I can understand what they were thinking. They were thinking carnally. They were thinking with their minds. They were thinking with the world, the worldly side of things. I can understand how people today get tripped up when you say that Jesus dying on the cross, being raised again the third day, stays around for about 40 days, and then ascends to heaven. I can understand how that looks to the world. I know what they think. We've all read Cinderella. We've all read Snow White and Her Little Dwarfs. Most of you have probably seen Shrek. You've all probably read the little fairy tales, all of the Disney movies, the little talking animals, all of those things. And the world tells us you're thinking and believing the exact same thing. Your belief system, it's all a lie and there's no basis to it. Paul said exactly what the world is doing today. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Those that die in their sins, it's foolishness. You know why it's foolishness to them? Because they never, ever believed it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." He goes on and he asks, he says, "Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, by the world, by wisdom, knew not God." But why does it please God? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What did Paul say in his second chapter? He says, "I came to know nothing. I determined that when I preached to you, I knew nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I didn't come to tell you everything that I know based off of what Taylor thinks about it. I didn't come to tell you about how to write this kind of legal document or prepare this or prepare that. Things that I know quite a bit about. I didn't come to tell you those things. But I came to preach Jesus and Him crucified." But yet Paul says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish It's foolishness. It says the Jews, they require a sign. You realize the Jewish people, they were still looking after the law. They were still seeking after something concrete. And I can understand where they're coming from. I like things to be spelled out. This is how it works. This is how it works. We'll work this way, and this works this way. And if you follow this, the directions are clear and everything works out. But that all changed when Jesus came. No longer were you under the merits of the law, but now you had to believe that there was a Savior who died for your sins. It says it pleased God. What does it mean when it pleases God? I believe it means when a person, and you get down, it says to them, to save them that believe. When a person hears the gospel message this morning is the death, or the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When they hear that, and it doesn't sound so foolish to them, and they believe that with all of their heart. And I'm not talking about just the simple, yes, I heard that in Sunday school. I'm talking about a belief that comes from the heart. Something that you know about. Something that you know is very real. And that you understand to be the truth, even though you weren't there. You can tell about it. I like the 25th verse of this reading lesson. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Think about that. Think of something that you think is very foolish. Think of something you think is very wise. Now, in the society that we live in today, right is wrong and wrong is right. Once held principles by our nation, by our world, they're no longer held by people today. Things that you used to see going on in the streets, well, they're replaced by far different things. Churches that used to teach the truth, they no longer teach the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but they teach a watered-down version of the truth. They teach that there might be a man named Jesus and he may have died for your sins, but that's up to you to accept. We don't teach that. We teach that Christ is the Savior. And that if you ever want to see Him, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you must believe that with all of your heart. And if you don't, you die in your sins. I'm not one that puts things out of order and puts numerical values on things of the gospel or the doctrines of Christ. But I will say this. I believe that belief in a risen Savior is of the utmost importance for anybody in this world. You know, I've heard a lot of people say they'll believe in ghosts. We were kind of joking around a little bit on the ship. We didn't see any bears or anything like that roaming around Alaska. We were sitting up top one day and Dad said, "Well, I guess if we look hard enough, we'll see Sasquatch." You know, there are people that believe in those things. They'll spend their money and their lives investing in things that do not matter, but they'll spend their lives shunning Christ. Because somebody dying for your sins sounds foolish. Because somebody that was born of a virgin, somebody that loved you, that sounds foolish. That's something I can't believe, I can't put my trust in. Paul said, "For seeing your calling, brethren, how that many, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, they're not called." You know, I've often thought the preacher, sometimes he gets a tough road to hoe. Because he gets up here and maybe sometimes you think I act like a complete idiot when I preach. Maybe I do. Whatever it takes for someone to see Jesus or see the power of Christ. But you know, I'm not very mighty. And I guess I'm not very noble at times. But you know what? God called me to preach. And He didn't call me to preach about things of the world or things that don't matter. He called me to preach about Him and that He died to save lost people. That's what He calls men to do.
He calls them to go, and you tell them that I love them and that I died for them and that I'll do anything I can to save their soul. And aren't you glad today that it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? I want to ask you something. Most of you all grew up long before I was born in Baptist churches. Maybe you didn't, I don't know. Do you remember the person that first preached to you the gospel? You remember them? Are they in your mind? Can you see their faces? Can you still hear their preaching? I was thinking earlier this week about some preachers that have really influenced my life and that have gotten up and they've made themselves look like a complete fool so that the message could be conveyed in a way that the person listening could know that God was with them. And I thought, bless their hearts, I'm so glad they did. I'm glad they took the time, the effort to preach to me about Jesus. Listen, brothers and sisters, I love to preach about church doctrine. I think our church doctrines, they're important. But the very foundation of everything is built upon Jesus and the cross. That's where it all starts. Everything I have, everything that I believe, it all hinges on Jesus. You see, without Him, without Him dying, it doesn't matter if you're baptized. It doesn't matter which church you belong to. It doesn't matter how many times you take a supper with grape juice and bread. Without Jesus, none of that matters. But yet we have people today that will come in churches. They'll sit down every Sunday and they still don't believe Jesus. Yet they'll still try to follow the ceremony, the letters of the law, the things they think are right. But yet believing in Jesus is foolish. You know what would help this world a whole lot? If they would believe in Jesus Christ. If they would put their faith, their hope, and their trust in a God that they know is bigger than they are, it would help them tremendously. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things of which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I thought this week, the reason that Christ has chosen this way. You know, I heard Brother Steve Skinner one time say at the minister school, and I believe it's the truth. He said, God could have painted the gospel in the sky with pink polka dots if He had chosen to. But yet He chose me to preach the gospel. He said, sometimes I would rather Him take pink polka dots and paint it in the sky is to have to get up and preach. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I'd rather the church roof open, you look up and you see it all painted before you, as to have to get up here and impart the things that God has laid upon my heart because I know how foolish they sound. I know how crazy that it seems. But I'm going to tell you this morning, it all became very real to me one night when the Lord saved my soul. Everything that I read in this Bible, I believe. And I don't believe it just because somebody told me it was so. I don't believe it because I heard some big mouth preacher get up and preach about it. But I believe it because God inspired every word in that Bible to be written. And I believe God, as Brother Colin said this morning, He let us have what we have because it's what we needed. I get
what the world says. I do. I understand.
We have a Bible, a book of 66 that are over the last one, at least is over 2,000 years old, give or take a few years. I understand why the world says you're preaching out of something that's outdated or that it's not useful anymore.
I believe this about the Bible, though. I believe it's timeless. Have you ever had a book that you've read over and over and over and over again?
Because the words never got old. The pages might get wrinkled, but the meaning was still there. Even after all of this time, as foolish as it seems, the Word of God still stands.
And I believe this, the Word of God will stand when the world is on fire. John chapter 20, verse 24. I want to read to you about a man named Thomas, and then I'm going to close. John chapter 20 and verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. See, Thomas, there are nail prints there. And reach hither thy hand. Come on, Thomas, give me your hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and I, brothers and sisters.
Thomas stood, and I can almost see him puff his chest out and say, "Well, until I see him, until I see the nail prints, until I feel his side, I'm not going to believe." Jesus said, "Blessed are those that have not seen, yet they believe." Brothers and sisters, one night on an old altar, I didn't just see it, brothers and sisters. I believed it because somebody, I preached through the power of the God, the Holy Spirit, and it got a hold of me and it let me know that it was real. I've said this plenty of times just recently. I've never seen the nail prints in his hand. I've never seen this tear in his side. And I wasn't there the day they nailed him to the cross. But someday, as the Scripture says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That's for here. The songwriter for Sweet Beulahland, I believe, got it right when he said, "And someday on thee I'll stand. And my faith will end in sight." Hebrews 11 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." So guess what? All of this, every Bible story, everything you've read, you must put your faith in. You do. I've never seen some of these things, but I believe them because the Holy Spirit witnesses with me. The Scripture says, His Spirit and our Spirit, they bear witness together. That I'm the child of God, that I am assured that I belong to Him. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I walk by faith now. I have to look and I have to study the Scriptures by faith. And one night I had to believe through faith that He was who He says He was. If that's you this morning and you've never truly believed in Him, today is the day that you need to put your faith, your trust in Him. Guess what He'll do for you? He will save your soul. And guess what? All of this stuff, it might seem foolish now, but when the Lord saves your soul, it will become so very real to you. So there are some times you can open up the Bible You can read about old Moses getting over to the Red Sea and him standing there, and I can almost hear the sigh of relief as the sea parted and he stepped out on the dry land. Thought about old Simeon. I'm going to close with this. Old Simeon in the Bible, the Lord told him, he said, "You'll not die until you see the Holy Child." And after a few days, as Jesus was being taken to the temple there to be circumcised, Simeon was there. And I can almost see him as Mary and Joseph were bringing him in. And as they brought him there, I can almost see the smile on Simeon's face. And he ran over and he looked down into Jesus' face and he says, "Mine eyes have seen salvation."
Amen.
My eyes have seen salvation. Physically, these eyes have never seen this soul be saved. But through the eye of faith, I believed. And therefore, it's sealed. I've seen some people get saved. Oh, what a joy it is. But I just think about old Simeon running over there, looking down into Christ's child's face and saying, "My eyes have seen Him. I have seen salvation." You know what I saw last week as I was traveling the world? You can believe it or not, but I saw salvation. When I looked out of those windows, when I looked off the deck of that ship, and I saw the handiwork of my Savior. You want to get a little closer to the Lord? Go take your trip out into nature. And you look and you see what God has done. You feel the wind blow through the trees. Birds chirp. A deer run by. A creek run by. If you don't see the hand of God in those things, you need to find an altar somewhere, pray until He saves your soul, and then you'll see God in everything that's around you. While we stand together this morning, and while we sing, maybe we're all just a little bit crazy, maybe we're all just a little bit foolish, but I'd rather be crazy and go to heaven as to be wise and go to hell. While we stand together this morning.